Okay. In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Just now we talk about speaking in tongues, yeah? And we have briefly touched on how important it is, yeah, for us to always pray in tongues, speak in tongues. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, I think we discussed this on the premise that we believe speaking in tongue is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, with this in mind, we come to chapter 14. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We read verse 2 and then we read verse 4. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mystery. Okay, now verse 4: he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Okay, now these are the two key points that we mentioned just now. Right, now the question is, how can we pray in such a way that we can understand the mystery of God better. Okay? Now, every time when we kneel down to pray, we pray in tongue, believing that we have received the Holy Spirit. And also, each time when we pray, we believe that we utter mystery. So, if we utter mystery all the time, it means that our knowledge, our understanding of the Scriptures, the truth, should also increase. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? I think that is quite important. Now, first of all, when we talk about mystery, we must not think that mystery refers to things which are unknown or things that are not even mentioned in the Scriptures. Okay? Now, when you look at the Bible, mystery refers to, broadly speaking, the salvation of God, especially the Gentiles, how the Gentile would come to believe, okay, according to Ephesians. Right? Now, you find that, yeah, for us to save ourselves and the world, as we have mentioned before, require us to adhere to the pattern of the sound words very firmly. Okay? Now, I want you to first read Romans chapter 6, yeah? Romans chapter 6. We read verse 17, okay? But God be thanked that though you were slave of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Okay? Now, here again it says there is a form of doctrine, and thank God this form of doctrine has been given to the church. Said the true Jesus Church today. Right? Now here we find that this form of doctrine is to save. Okay? Now the question is, we all have known about this doctrine. Yeah? This form of doctrine. Now when we talk about this mystery, we want to deepen our understanding of the doctrine. Okay? Now first of all, when you pray in tongues, when you think about the faith that you have received, first of all, you cannot doubt. Very important. Okay? When you start doubting, then you are not praying in accordance to the will of the Spirit. Right? Even though you utter in tongues. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay? So if you want to have a deeper understanding of the Word of God, first of all, you must believe in what you have received. Right? So when you pray, because your mind is thinking about the Word, right? Then the Spirit will enable you to understand the Word better. I mean, the truth better. Okay? This is how you deepen your understanding. And so, through speaking in tongues, right? In prayer, you come to understand the Word of God better. But if your mind rejects the Word, even though you utter in tongues, it does not help you in your understanding. It does not. You get what I'm saying now? So the person's mind must be in line with the Word of God, and because this is the will of the Spirit, the Word of God. If my mind is not the same, then how can the Spirit intercede for me in the first place to have a better understanding of the Word? It's not possible. Okay? Now, I want you to turn back to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Read verse 14, yeah? That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Okay? How can you keep that pattern of the sound? Well, obviously, we said through prayer. Okay? And our conviction in the pattern of the sound word shall be deepened if we believe and when we pray in tongues. Right? The Spirit will help us understand more. Why not? You get what I'm saying now? Right? Don't pray with a doubtful mind. Right? Oh, is the basic belief correct or not? Is the pattern correct or not? The Spirit will not intercede for you because you have already been told the right way, the correct way. Right? Now, you find that, yeah? If, again, I said, if confusion or doubt clouds your mind, if that is not cleared very quickly, then what happens? It's like it draws you away from God. Your heart is detached from the Word. Okay? It's very difficult to to return because you have been given the word already. So when you pray in tongues, okay, you pray with your mind, you must trust in the word. If let's say you're not too sure about the one true church, you want to have more understanding about it. So in your prayer you can pray about it. Okay, so God, please help me to understand it better. Yeah? I think with this willing attitude, then God will enable you to understand it more. You get what I'm saying? Right? It's how we keep it. How we keep it. Right, now, we come to the second one. Just now we talk about loving one another. Yeah, the connection between tongue speaking and loving one another. I want you to turn to Romans first. Turn back to chapter 8. We read verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helped in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Now, verse 26 here mentions about our weaknesses, right? You know that when we come before God, we always say, no one is perfect. Now, as far as loving one another is concerned, we know that we are still far away from the required standard of the Lord. Okay? Now, so with this understanding, when we pray, right, we allow God, it's like we tell God that, God, this is my weakness. I want to love more, but I cannot. Right? I cannot. So it's like a personal confession before God. Yeah? That is a willingness on our part, wanting to love one another more, right? Then we find that the Spirit will intercede. Why? Because our mind and the mind of God is the same. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, when we pray, we do not confess, we do not acknowledge our own shortcoming, even though we pray in tongues, right? We find that we are not edified at the end of the prayer. You get what I'm saying? Right? So, when we talk about praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues for self-edification, there must be a sense of willingness on our parts to submit to the will of God. In this case, to love one another. All right? Now, we turn to 1 John. We read chapter 4, yeah? We read verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12, yeah? So no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. Obviously, we have read verse 13 before. And how do we know that He abides in us? Because of the Spirit that He has given to us. Can you see? All right? Now, so we find that when we are willing to pray, okay, put it this way, okay, when we are willing to pray in such a way that we really want to act out loving one another, then the Spirit will help. Simple as that. Simple as that. Okay? And that is how we can be edified when we pray in tongues. You know that sometimes we even, I think this is very personal to all of us, yeah? This is our personal experience. Sometimes we find that even after a long prayer, we are not edified. Yeah? And we still feel very troubled. We still feel very weak, right? Why? Because we have not prayed in accordance to the will of God. In this case, to love one another. Okay, that's the problem. That's the problem we have. And that's the problem we are facing today. Right? Now, so if each and every one of us here can pray, yeah, in a positive manner, as mentioned in the scriptures, then the church will be filled with love. Everything will be changed. Will be different. Right? So that is the relationship between tongue speaking and loving one another. So that's why we cannot say speaking in tongues is not important or whatever. Right? Actually, it's very, very important. Okay? Very important. Sometimes we cannot use negative example in the church to denounce the principle of God. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Because you see this preacher, he only talk, he doesn't know how to love. So what's the point of praying in tongues? No, that's not correct. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? The principle of God is such that through praying in tongues, if we pray in a positive manner, with a will to change ourselves for the better, then we find that tongue speaking can really edify us. Right? Okay. Now, we move on. We turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13, yeah? We read verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now again, some say, see, love is so important, and it's like love outlasts tongue speaking, right? In terms of what do you call it? In terms of time, yeah, it seems that love, you know, goes on and on and on forever. Whereas, tongue speaking is only for a short period of time, and here it says it shall cease. That's why people said tongue speaking is not very important. Yeah, love is more important. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? That is the argument. Now, I want you to look at it again. Now, apart from love, what other things did Paul mention here? Only tongue speaking? No. Prophecies, yeah? Okay, I think in the context of 1 Corinthians, it refers to preaching as well. Yeah? Some can prophesy, means some can preach. Okay, preaching, tongue speaking, and knowledge. Now, if we said tongue speaking is not important, Right? We can also rightly rule out the importance of what? Prophecy and knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? Because they are placed together. Yeah? On the same level. Is it not so? Why only single out tongue speaking? You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, when we have reached perfection, let's say when Christ comes again, then there's no need for what? Prophecy anymore. There's no need for tongue speaking. There's no need for knowledge. Right? And so this is not the reason to reject tongue speaking. You get what I'm saying? It's okay? Right. Now, so far, any questions from 1 Corinthians? Yes. You want me to show you some articles?
I got them on my email. Okay, but I suppose what is the difference between the practical difference before you see the, apart from edification, before you receive the tongues, what's the practical implication? Because before, as you know,
before you receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because before you also, when I asked you whether you can bear fruit before receiving tongues, you still show love and joy, as you mentioned.
Okay. What is the point of your question?
My question is, what are the practical differences in the church?
No, I think the question is, yeah, we believe that speaking in tongue is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. That's the main point. Okay. That's our focus. Right. Is that not? That's our focus. If you look at Luke chapter 24. Yeah. We look at that again. Right. I think I talked about this yesterday, but never mind. We'll come back. Chapter 24, yeah. Verse 49, yeah? 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, before that, were they given power? That's my point. I use that to explain the idea, remember? Now, my question is, were they given power? Yes. That if they have been given the full power, as we have read in Luke chapter 10, why should they ask for the Spirit again? Why should they tarry in Jerusalem? Because this is a new era, and God wants us to receive the Holy Spirit with tongue speaking as the evidence. Okay? That's the reason. Okay? No, it's an assignment. I gave it to them. Yes. Thank you. Yes. The Bible, according to John chapter 7, none has received the Holy Spirit yet, not until he ascended back to heaven. Okay? That's why I said chapter 7 is so important. That is the key passage. Yeah? So if you grasp that, then you can answer virtually every question. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the key one. Now, we have been saying, even though they have been given power, and yet Jesus asked them to wait in Jerusalem. okay, telling us that something different is going to happen. Even though the spirit stays the same, there's no change, the spirit is the same, but in terms of function, it's different. Everyone has to receive the Holy Spirit first, with tongue speaking as the evidence, before they went out to preach. You understand what I'm saying? That's why today in the church here, we have a situation here where there are members who do not have the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And that creates a kind of difficulties. Right? You understand what I'm saying now? So, that's why I've been saying, if I have not received the Holy Spirit, then my main focus is to pray for the Holy Spirit. Okay? If I'm given something to do in the church, then I'll do it. But if I'm not given, then I'll pray for the Holy Spirit. Because by looking at Luke chapter 24, right, the verse we have just read, the instruction of Christ is that you must be endued with power from on high, evidenced by tongue speaking, before you are sent out. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's why to me, my encouragement to those who have the Holy Spirit, if you are given work to do in the church, yes, just do it. But your focus should be on praying for the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, I think something I missed out with. Okay? You know, the Spirit is to be given to all flesh, everyone, according to Joel. Okay? It's no longer selective. So, everyone who believes in Jesus can receive the Holy Spirit. Right? So the top priority, as far as I'm concerned, is pray for the Holy Spirit first. Because this is something that Christ spoke about before his ascension. Is that not true? Yeah, that should be the focus point. Yeah? Yeah, so when you receive the Holy Spirit and you evidence by tongue speaking, then you are sent out, then you shall be sent out to work. That's it. Now, plus, we are not trying to put it this way. How can I tell you? We are not trying to segregate ourselves from those who do not have the Holy Spirit. No. Okay? We try to follow the scriptures as closely as we can. Yeah? Now, if I have not received the Holy Spirit, again, I said I will pray. You know, obviously, some people have prayed for many years and they have not received the Holy Spirit. Never know, maybe it's a test from God. God wants us to be more patient, more humble, you know. We pray for the Holy Spirit. That's it. So in the time of the apostle, 120 received the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues as the evidence, you know. And like Cornelius and the family, all of them received the Holy Spirit with tongue speaking as the evidence. Okay, now we come to another one. If you don't have any more questions, you have any more questions? Now, to be honest, yeah, to be honest, if you read Mark chapter 6, for example, and Luke chapter 9, they cast out demons, yeah? Cast out demons. Demons came out before the coming of the Spirit, and after the Spirit has come, they also cast out demons. I can't really tell the difference. What's the difference? The only difference is after the ascension of Christ here, these people that spoke in tongues, which is required of them, because this is a requirement for salvation. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what Christ wants the church to do. This is how Christ started the church and how Christ instructed the church to do before his ascension. Right? Now, physically speaking, there's no difference because demon also came out here before the Spirit came. But here, demon also came out. You know what I'm saying? But the important thing is the instruction of Christ. Christ says you must receive the Spirit first. Now, that's the thing that we need to follow. Okay. Any more questions? All right, if not, then we move on. We turn to Romans chapter 8, yeah? It's another question. Sorry, before I forget it, let me... Okay, we read chapter 15 first, yeah, Romans? Yeah, we read verse 19, okay? Now, casting out demon actually is dependent upon the power of the Spirit. I'm talking about in the normal case, yeah? Like in the true Jesus Church or in the time of the Apostle, in the Apostolic Church. Now, verse 19, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, so they were given power in Mark chapter 6, meaning they were given the power of God. Okay? We can also say the power of the Spirit. Is that not true? God is the Spirit. Yeah? Okay? And yet they were asked to remain in Jerusalem. Okay? That is a new era. That's a new era. Okay? Right? Now, we turn back to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, yeah? You read verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay? Now, I think if this verse is not properly explained, and it creates a lot of fears, especially amongst those who have not received the Holy Spirit yet. Okay? It's like telling them that they do not belong to Christ. And also for that reason, yeah, we find that, you know, new theories may arise as a result, right? Saying that when a person is baptized, obviously he must have been filled by the Spirit, right? Yeah, otherwise, if he or if anyone who is baptized without being filled by the Spirit, then he is not of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, that's why we need to read this very carefully. Read this very carefully. Yeah? Right. Now, first of all, I want you to read chapter 8, verse 1. And I think it's also in my handout anyway. Yeah, but chapter 8, verse 1. Yeah. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here it talks about two modes of life. One is what? Walk according to the Spirit. And the other one is according to the flesh. Two modes of life, yeah? Spirit and flesh. Now, for those who walk according to the Spirit, there is no condemning consequence, meaning such people would not be condemned because they are in the Spirit. Right? Now, as for these people, what happened? Obviously, they shall be judged. Okay. Now, we move on. Here's a walk, yeah? Walk. Now, I want you to read verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, I think the English use the word live, yeah? Now, if you look at this very carefully, it gives the idea of what? Mindset. Even in the verse itself, right, you can deduce that this refers to a kind of mindset. Okay? And that's what it says. Yeah? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Okay? Now, so if I walk according to the Spirit, meaning my actions, yeah, is in line with the will of the Spirit, why is it that I'm able to walk in the Spirit? Because of my mindset, my mind. Because we understand that our action dictates, our mind dictates our actions. You understand what I'm saying? If I have a mindset of love, obviously whatever comes out from me is loving. You understand what I'm saying? What? So the mind dictates the actions. Now, these two are different. Okay, according to Paul, they are different. Yeah? They are not the same. We turn to Galatians. We read chapter 5, yeah? Okay, chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There are two different things, yeah? According to the English version. Two separate things, all right? Now, so the one is mindset, and one is actions, yeah? Beats or whatever. Okay. Now, the question, yeah? The next question is, how is it that I have a mindset that can walk according to the Spirit? Obviously, because the Spirit is within me. Right? Sorry. Spirit dwells within me, and on my part, I submit. Okay? That's why you see a spiritual mindset and what? Spiritual deeds. You understand what I'm saying? Hello? Are you following me? Okay, now I want you to turn back to Romans. Chapter 8, yeah? Paul is making a contrast between those who walk in the Spirit and those who walk according to the flesh. Now, verse 6, yeah? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Alright? Now, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. What is he saying? Okay, very clearly, from this set of understanding here given, which we deduce from the verses, right? Meaning that if I'm a man, yeah, who, let's say I have the Holy Spirit, but I choose not to walk according to the Spirit, yeah, I walk according to the flesh, right? Obviously, my mindset is what? Is carnally minded. Am I right? 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 Now, if I have the Holy Spirit, how is it that I still have this carnally mindedness? How is it that I still live in the flesh? Very likely because I grieve the Spirit to an extent that the Spirit even leave me. That's why Paul says, if anyone who does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to God. Okay, now let's give you an example given in Jude. We turn to Jude, yeah? We turn to Jude. What is it? We read verse 18 and verse 19, yeah? How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division and not having the Spirit. Spirit of God is not in them. Right? Now, do you think this kind of people belongs to God? No. He's talking to believers. Right? Now, so I can be a person who has the Spirit, but if I do not submit to the Spirit, yeah, eventually you will see this outcome, that is, I will walk according to the flesh. If I constantly do that, I grieve the Spirit, and to the extent that I don't even have the Spirit within me. So if the Spirit leaves me, it means that I don't belong to God. Okay? So Paul is not talking about anyone who has been baptized and who has yet to receive the Holy Spirit and saying that these people do not belong to God. No! It's a special case. What? Right. Any question? Put it this way, what do you mean have not received speaking in tongue? Receive the Holy Spirit.
No.
No, that's why I have been saying this, okay? In the New Testament time, the focus is to pray for the Holy Spirit. Is to pray for the Holy Spirit first. And ask God to keep us in the faith. Simple as that. Okay? Simple as that. Because I always use Mark, right, to explain my understanding. They have been given power already. Why should they still pray for the Holy Spirit? If I don't have the Holy Spirit, even I can do good works or whatever, I still have to focus on praying for the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Right? It's okay.
So if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, according to verse 14, it almost suggests that you can still be led by the Spirit of God in your life. That's probably, God's hand in your life to help you.
Yes.
Yes.
But again, I said the focus is still on praying for the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's the main thing. You know, because the example again, they can cast out demon, no problem. No demon. Actually, the full power has been given, and yet Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are given the Spirit." Right. So today we do the same. Today we do the same. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I pray for the Holy Spirit. Whatever works I'm given, I do in the church. Simple as that.
Do you not send
into
pioneering area? The work that has not received the Holy Spirit. But
no, we encourage them to pray.
Pray while they go and work.
But what can we do? We obviously we hope that they receive the Holy Spirit before we go.
Are they allowed to?
I think we allow them. What can we do? I don't know.
There's lots of people.
I put it this way, okay? I think that's a valid question. If you say in a more established church, and there are many people who have received the Holy Spirit, and obviously we choose among those who have the Holy Spirit to serve. You get what I'm saying? They're like sermonizing, that kind of stuff. Alright? Now, obviously in a pioneering area, I think we encourage them to pray. What can you do? You get, don't preach on the Sabbath day, so what are they going to do? Pray. Sabbath pray on the prayer. But I think in most cases, I'm not sure. I think in most cases they received the Holy Spirit before.
It's just a concept of repent. Suggests from Acts that you, as you said, you have to receive the Holy Spirit first. So in today's context, you know, obviously the Holy Spirit is not picking us and then sending us directly. We're not led by the Spirit to go somewhere. Not evident in any way. So then when it comes to church workers, deciding whether to send local workers to another planning area, it's then send a question, is, you know, is that question whether you can send them even though that is going to be pray for them,
pray, sometimes they don't receive the Holy Spirit, what can we do? Now, like what we said, the principle of the scripture is that we focus on praying for the Holy Spirit. That's it. Otherwise, what is the need of gathering the 120 to pray? It's no need for it. Yes.
And praying without any doubt whatsoever, then you pray without doubt and pray earnestly, then you're more likely to get the Holy Spirit.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, it's up to God. I'm not the giver. I cannot confer the Spirit to you. It's up to God. I can't say anything more than that. No, our encouragement is continue to pray. You know, even when you read Acts, yeah, they waited for a period of time. You know, to me that is like a humbling process. If you look at the rivalry before the ascension of Christ, very severe, very severe. That's why what happened when Christ rebuked them of their unbelief, yeah, and also their rivalry, they waited for a period of time. The Spirit came. You get what I'm saying? To me, it's a humble process. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I pray for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, simple as that. Yes. We can be guided by the Spirit, yeah. A person can be guided by the Spirit without the Holy Spirit. Yes. The main point is praying for the Holy Spirit first. That is the main point. Before the church started, they pray for the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm a bit slow. Sorry. You know that the example they have been baptized into Christ, they are within Christ. They are the children of God. And they are entitled to receive the Holy Spirit. Yes. They are entitled to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, any more questions? No? I give you a simple example. Yeah? Right? We talk about the two requirements for salvation, right? Born of water and the Spirit. Now Cornelius, before he was converted, yeah, his prayer reached God. Good deeds reached God. Practically everything reached God. Right? You understand what I'm saying? But he still has to be baptized and he has to receive the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? That's why in the New Testament time, the two requirements has been set. We have to follow. Okay, I believe, yeah, if we want to compare Cornelius' life before his conversion, I think his life, his good deeds, maybe it's better than mine. Does it mean that, oh, actually he did not need to pray for the Holy Spirit?
No.
That is the requirement for salvation. That's the requirement. Right? Now, that's why Jesus has given us a very clear guideline. Before his ascension, all his disciples assembled together to pray first, to receive the Holy Spirit. That's why if I do not have the Holy Spirit, my top priority is to pray for the Holy Spirit. Okay. Is that clear? If you are not clear, you ask. If I'm not able to answer you very clearly, I'll think about it tomorrow, I'll come and answer. No, I think you all know the question, all the answers to all these questions. It's too simple.